Peace be unto you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As I noted earlier that we will be focusing on betraying eyes for about Judas. Judas will forever be a name associated with betrayal, with treachery, with handing over the innocent Jesus to sinful men who would see him to his death. Tonight, we will begin by looking at and through the betraying eyes of Judas. What I want to lead you to is the recognition that it's most important for us to take a hard look at ourselves and then fix our eyes on Jesus. St. Mark writes that Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. Mark mentioned that Judas was one of the 12, highlights that the deeply personal nature of his treachery and brazenness of his betrayal. Judas has been chosen out of countless Jewish men to be one of the 12 apostles, a select group who had the privilege of being in the inner circle of God's Son for 3 years. Judas knew firsthand the love and mercy of Jesus and had witnessed his powerful miracles. He had heard the Beatitudes again and again. He had heard the parable of the rich fool and the warnings about greed drummed into his ears. He had gone out and preached in Jesus' name. He had heard the warnings about those who preached in the Lord's name, but are shocked on Judgment Day to find out that their faithlessness is landing them in hell. If you want to see Exhibit 1 of someone who had all the right things taught to him, but then rebelled against it, it is Judas. Judas had brought out the chief priests, sought out the chief priests with an offer to hand Jesus over to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. The Jewish leaders were seeking an inconspicuous location to arrest Jesus. And Judas would have provided them with an ideal opportunity in the middle of the night in an isolated garden. And as we know from the other Gospels, Judas was a greedy man, even a thief. So he must have looked at this betrayal as an opportunity to line his pockets. Judas' plan was in place, but first he had to wade through the preparation for the Passover and the meal itself. At dinner, Jesus drops this bomb on the 12 apostles. As they are reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." Try now to picture the 26 eyes at the table and what they were doing. Jesus seems to be calmly looking around, knowing by his divine omniscience exactly who it is, but not giving anything away. Mark says that they began to be sorrowful and to say to Jesus and one another, "Is it I?" You can picture them looking around the room with suspicion, wondering, who must it be? You can picture the tears streaming down some of the faces to express their grief at what Jesus was predicting. What were Judas's eyes doing? Did he look down in shame? Did he nervously glance around to see if he was suspected? Did he put on a good show and act like the rest of them? We can't know for sure, but I'm going to bet that it was the latter. What's striking about Mark's account of this scene is that Jesus doesn't name Judas. We don't hear that the traitor is Judas until the Garden of Gethsemane. Why do you suppose that is? Perhaps Jesus wanted each of the 12 to examine himself and see if he had the capability to betray innocent blood, to commit treason against his Lord. Likewise, Jesus wants each of us to examine our own loyalty to the Lord. Bach's St. Matthew Passion takes the faithful scene at the Last Supper and sets it to sublime music. When it gets to the section in which Jesus announces that the betrayer is at the table, part of the chorus sings the words of each of the disciples asking if he is the traitor. The text in German, Herr bin ich, and this is straight out of Luther's German Bible, translate, Lord, is it I? And then comes a confession to Jesus in the form of a choral sung by the whole chorus. It begins, Ich bin, it is I. Here is the English translation of the choral verse addressed to Jesus. It is I should atone, bound hand and foot in hell. The scourges and the bonds and what you endured, my soul has earned. It is I. Bach gets the Judas story right, highlighting that all of us have participated in the sin of Judas. We have all committed treason, turning against our Lord. That's what our sin is, betrayal of our King of grace. And if we were to die in our sin, it certainly would have been better for us not to have been born at all. That's why it's such good news when Jesus says in the upper room, the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. And then in the garden, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Jesus came specifically for this purpose, to be betrayed and to pour out his holy, precious blood and suffer an innocent death to atone for your sin, my sin, for Judas's sins, for the sins of the whole world. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. There are deep mysteries here. Judas was morally culpable for his betrayal of Jesus and justly paid the price of his sin and impenitence, even though the scriptures had foretold this would happen. God did not force Judas to do anything, but it was Judas' sinful will, along with the devil's prompting, that led him to do this. Yet behind the scenes, this is what God wanted to see all along. The Father wanted to punish his Son for our sake. The Father wanted to hand over his Son to this death. And the Son would willingly, out of love for you and all sinners. The verb we translate as betray in this text can also have the simple meaning to hand over or to deliver. Romans 4:24-25 says that faith will be counted for righteousness to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Who did the handing over? Judas, to be sure, but above all, God the Father loved the world this way. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So fix your eyes on the one who for you became a curse on the tree of the cross, and find salvation in him. You traitors, you Judases, in baptism you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God, the same one you betrayed. Don't try to hide your crimes. Confess them. He is not surprised that you are sinners. He knew that as he went to the cross to establish his kingdom of grace, and he knows that now even as he forgives the sins of all who repent. For every time that you have betrayed him, for every time that you have made promises to him you couldn't keep, for all of the commitments to your Lord you have failed to keep, remember this. There is forgiveness for you. There is forgiveness for you even as the words of absolution drum into your ears, as the grace of baptism comes to your remembrance, as the forgiving, life-giving blood and body of Jesus is given into your mouth. The verb we translate as betraying, but that also can mean handing over or delivering, is used by St. Paul in a remarkable place in his writings. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, he uses the verb twice there, writing, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on that night when he was delivered, took bread." Yes, we are accustomed to hearing "on the night when he was betrayed," and that is certainly correct. But what is most important is that God, the Father, handed Jesus over to death in our place. The apostles handed down to us the word of institution for the Lord's Supper. And in that meal, Jesus hands his body and blood over to us for forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Remember this every Sunday as you see and hear those precious words. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And then you can sing with joy, "Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. My own eyes have seen the salvation." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpassed all understanding, keep in your hearts and minds. In Jesus Christ Jesus, amen.